Well, good morning, church. Hallelujah. It's exciting to be here this morning with you, not physically inside the building, but through our medium called live stream. Hallelujah. It's exciting. We're starting to discover some new ways of bringing the gospel to you or the message to you. It's not new to the system, but it's actually new to our church. And so we are just excited about that. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. This is an exciting time when we come to celebrate the most amazing miracle the world has ever seen. And that is resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Before I release the message and preach to you, I wanted to just pray before we do that. So let's just bow our heads and pray for the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessing. Lord, thank you that your word is power. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. And we thank you, God, that your word will go forth. For Lord, that you will watch over your word to fulfill it, Lord, in the lives of your people today. I pray, Father, that it shall not come back void, but it will accomplish everything that your word was purposed to do. The word for today will be purposed, Lord, in the lives of your people this morning. I pray, Father, ignite your word in our spirit. Cause us to be, Lord, aware, and not just that, but cause us to be the doers of your word, people that live scripture and not just hear scripture, but Lord, to understand, and by using wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from you, Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray, and we bring this word and this service before you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody shout it in your own lounge room and said, amen, hallelujah. Well, Resurrection Sunday. What an amazing, amazing miracle. And I want to bring to you some principles. And I love principles. I love the foundation of it. It's really important for us as people of the kingdom of God. Amen? The followers of Jesus Christ or the believers of the kingdom of God must understand the principles behind it. Don't just read this story. Understand why. What was the purpose of resurrection? Why that had to happen? So I wanted to just introduce this message to you by saying that the resurrection of Christ from the dead is a vital and central to our belief as followers of Christ. Amen. Paul, the great apostle, wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 5. And he said, "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." Hallelujah. "According to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." According to the scriptures. "And that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. As he opens this chapter, Paul's clear purpose for this was to show the hope that God has placed before us. Not based on man's guesses or possibilities, but on scripture. On the reality of scripture. But on the testimony of many eyewitnesses that were living when he wrote this scripture, when he was talking about it. Paul is a lawyer, so when he was presenting the gospel to the people, he came from a lawyer's perspective. Amazing. We get some great perspective from Paul, the great apostle. Paul adds that he did not make up the gospel, but it was that he received from Christ. And what he received was exactly the same as he had been told by the apostles when he met them in Jerusalem. When he met the apostles in Jerusalem, they told him exactly what he actually is bringing to us. He said, that confirms everything about the resurrection. I'm just opening up this for you to understand. Paul is presenting the resurrection of Christ as a historical fact. It is a fact in history that Christ raised from the dead, or raised from the dead. We also have available to us the witness of the apostles. Lives following the resurrection. People just do not do the things the apostles did without believing what they saw with their own eyes, with their heart. In the first 8 verses, Paul reinforces what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 21. That there is plenty of strong evidence of the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is not a figment of our imagination or the man's imagination. It really did occur. And God did not provide a mere two or three witnesses, but hundreds of them. Hallelujah. Everybody that was there during this time witnessed the resurrection, witnessed to it. And on top of that, God is an awesome God. God knows that he would not just go to those who knew Christ or the followers of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, people would say, oh, you know, they planned this. It was a scheme that they planned because they were his followers. So they're just telling us that he raised from the dead. They may have stolen the body and are telling us that the story is that he rose from the dead. God is smart, smarter than every human being that he created. He validates the resurrection through the Roman guards first. See, the Roman guards, most of our religious thinking, we thought that when the angel turned up, everybody got slain without even witnessing what was happening. We need to understand that Christ appeared, the resurrection appeared to the Roman soldiers first. This is a pagan Roman soldier that do not believe in Christ saw the resurrection before they became as dead as what the Bible told us, or the Bible tells us. But the thing is this, that Jesus appeared to these people first. The resurrection appeared to the soldiers. See, the religious leaders reminded Pilate that Jesus predicted that he would rise again from the dead. They wanted Pilate's help in assuring that that does not happen. So Pilate, to please or even to just to shut the religious people's mouths up, he placed Roman guards in front of the tomb. Now, these Roman guards are not just some guards. These are battle-hardened men. Men have seen war, men that have fought war. These are military disciplined soldiers. And they don't lie. Because to lie to your commanding officer is a crime in the Roman military. And so God is too good. God is an amazing God. He appeared to the Roman soldiers first. And so the Roman soldiers who were guarding that tomb at that time saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw what was happening. Hallelujah. So Pilate put the Roman soldiers in guard in front of the tomb. These are pagan soldiers. Four soldiers in a shift to guard the tomb. And in a company of soldiers, I think it was about 50 men altogether. See, in our religious mind, we think that there was just one soldier with a spear standing in front of the tomb. This is a serious event that the Romans wanted to predict from happening, or the religious leaders wanted to prevent from happening. So they had to do what they were asking of the Roman soldiers to do. So Caesar placed the guards there. But the amazing thing is, you know, the Bible, it says that the religious leaders paid the soldiers to keep quiet. See, the world has their own preconceived ideas about resurrection. They tried that during the time of Jesus, but it didn't work. Hallelujah. They tried it to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ from going out into the world and from us becoming the fruits of it. This is not a figment of our imagination. Resurrection is real. Why? Because the Bible tells us that. Our constitution tells us about that. See, David prophesied that his descendant, the Messiah, would sit on his throne. David saw that. And he prophesied, and he said in Psalm 16, verse 10, he says, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. He's talking about the Hades. Nor will you let your faithful one see decay. That was David. He saw the resurrection, and he wrote it down. And he saw it, and he spoke it out. In Acts chapter 23, or Acts chapter 2, verse 31 to 33, it says, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. Hallelujah. They were talking about resurrection. They foresaw it and they were predicting it. God raised this Jesus to life, verse 32, and we are all witness of it. 33, it says, exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit that has poured out what you now see and hear. Hallelujah. My friends, resurrection is a powerful time and very significant and important to us as followers of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 18. Now, I like what Jesus always says. He says, this is what Jesus said. No one takes it from me. No one can take my life, he says. But I lay down of myself. I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it up again. This command, this is very key, he says, this command I have received from my Father. This is a command or a promise that Jesus received from his Father. That's why he spoke so straight. He spoke so confidently. He says, listen, I have power to lay down my life, and I even have power to take it up again. Why? Because that's a promise I received from my Father. Hallelujah. Jesus gave only one sign to verify his messiahship, and that was his resurrection from the dead. That was his one sign that he was the Messiah. Hallelujah. His resurrection from the dead validates him as the Messiah. It separates him from every other person who claimed to be a Messiah. The scribes and the Pharisees had demanded a sign from him to prove his claim. Hallelujah. And this is what he said to them. Listen to what he says to them. Because they were asking for a sign. And he gave them a sign about the resurrection. He says, listen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 to 40. He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 2 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He was talking about resurrection. What did the Pharisees ask him for? A sign. Jesus had been preaching that a tree is known by its fruit in verse 33 of this scripture. So naturally, these Jews asked for a sign from Jesus to prove he was the Messiah. They wanted to see what fruit he would produce. Jesus swiftly rebuked them because they had completely missed the point. And if you read in verse 41 and 42, to satisfy their curiosity, they wanted to see a miracle. But the fruit Jesus meant was repentance, good works, and spiritual growth. That was what Jesus was telling them. He would make them wait to see the fruit of his ministry. He gave them a sign of a resurrection. He didn't talk about anything else. He didn't wait for them to see the fruit. He said, this is a sign. The only sign that will be given to you is the sign of Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days. So will be the Son of Man. He was saying that, listen, I don't have the power. I'm just paraphrasing this. He says, the only sign that will be absolutely proof and truth of our message is that I will have no control over it. Jesus didn't have control over resurrection. The Father did. The Father controlled the resurrection. He says, I will be exactly 3 days and three nights in the grave. I will be dead. I will not be able to resurrect myself. So if God the Father resurrects me after exactly 3 days and three nights, then that is proof beyond doubt that I am the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. That was proof. Coming back from the dead is proof that he was Messiah. Listen, we can all, anybody can be born. Everybody born, live and die. You can live, that's normal. You can die, that's normal. But coming back from the dead and claiming that you're a Messiah, none of us can actually say that. We cannot claim that except Christ Jesus. When Jesus was with his disciples, he talked about his death a lot, but he never left it at that. He always finished by saying, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'll die. I'll go to the cross. I'll be buried. And 3 days later, I'll be back. He keeps telling them that. He talks about death, but he also talks about coming back. Why? Because he knew that the greatest miracle that is ever going to happen on the planet Earth was going to happen through resurrection. It is the coming back part that's tough for everyone on Earth because we cannot claim that. Why? Being born is an issue. Being born is not an issue. To live is not an issue. To die is not an issue. But coming back, that's an issue that you cannot claim. None of us can claim that. There's a lot of speculation in the world that he did not come back from the dead. But that is what the world always liked to tell you. The world's been coming against the word of God ever since Jesus resurrected from the dead. They're claiming that it was just a figment of imagination from people. But listen, Jesus was not just a story. Jesus was a prophecy. He was a prophecy manifested. He lived prophecy. He was a prophetic manifestation of the word of God. Everything that was said about Jesus before he was born, after he was born, and the day he went on the cross, everything was prophesied by him. He was a man living prophecy. He was fulfilling it as he was living it. Hallelujah. And it was all prophesied by the prophets before he was born. Hallelujah. The problem to the skeptics is this, that he was a prophetic manifestation of the word of God. Isaiah prophesied, listen to this, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 to 12. It says, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Even though he is dead, he will see his offspring." That's what the prophecy was. That he's going to die, but he's going to resurrect again to be able to see the sons that he has provided, or the sons that he is actually born in the spirit. Verse 11 says, "He shall see the labor of his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Hallelujah. That was a prophecy of resurrection. 2,000 years later, Jesus said to his disciples, "God promised me that I will lay down my life and I will see the sons that I bear." In other words, I'm absolutely convinced that if I die, I'm going to come back. That's a promise he received from the Father. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus was the greatest promise of hope beyond the grave. If he did not come back, we're going to be in trouble. We are in trouble if he did not come back from his death. If he did not get resurrected again, we will be in trouble. The world will be in trouble. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus was the greatest proof that death lost its power. The resurrection of Jesus was proof that death lost its power upon your mother, your father, your children, your son, whoever that may have passed, or your life. It's proof that you will come back. Hallelujah. That you will be resurrected. That you live beyond the grave. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 7. It says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow." Hallelujah. "The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified.'" Listen to this, verse 6. He said, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Hallelujah. The angel said, "Listen, he's not here. He's risen just as he said that he would. Hallelujah. Oh, Resurrection Sunday is a powerful, powerful event. Death was destroyed on the day. Hallelujah. The power of death is no more in our life. The angel said, he is not here. He has what? Risen, just as he said. Hallelujah. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Hallelujah. This is the angel telling the girls or the women there that he's gone. He's risen. He's not here. He's not just like he said he would. Hallelujah. Oh, I love resurrection. The power of resurrection is so really, really good for us as Christians and those who believe in Christ Jesus. It is paramount for us. This is Jesus Christ fulfilling the word of God. Everything that was said about him in the Bible, he fulfilled it even to the day of resurrection. Everything. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. It says, I have come back to this scripture. Sorry. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18 is a powerful scripture. I love this scripture because it's got so much foundation on resurrection about it. There's something about it that has the foundation of the faith that you and I live on, the kingdom of God, the people, the followers of Jesus Christ, the believers of the word of God. I have to come back to this to set the foundation for this. This is really important for us. It has great fundamental principles to why Jesus is Christ and why resurrection is important to us who believe in him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Or he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? In other words, he said, I am asking you this because you are my disciples. This is what they say about me. Some say that I am John the Baptist, a prophet. Some say that I am Elijah, another prophet. And others say that I am Jeremiah, another prophet. But he said, but who do you say that I am? You, the disciples, the 12 that I've been working on, the 12 that I've been teaching, the 12 that I've been walking with, eating with, drinking with, everything that we've done together, who do you say that I am? Hallelujah. Simon Peter, in verse 16, answered and said, you are the Christ. In other words, there are some wannabe Christ around the place that want to be Christ. But listen to Simon's word. He says, you are the Christ, not Christ, the Christ, the only one who is the Son of the living God. There are many other gods and they're dead, but you are the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. That's a powerful statement from Simon Peter. Jesus, listen to his answer to Simon Peter's declaration. Jesus answered in a powerful way. And his answer is the key to the power of resurrection. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, the rock meaning the revelation or the declaration that you spoke, that I am Christ, or the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, I will build my church. And then he says, this is the key, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against them. See, in the King James Version, there's a lot of different versions, but it doesn't do justice to the word that Jesus was using on this particular scripture. The word hell in this particular verse has got nothing to do with the lake of fire. It means the Hades or the grave. Jesus was talking about the grave. There are three words that describes hell, and you can find them in the Bible. Number one, Gehenna, means the place of torment. Number two, Sheol or Sheol means the lake of fire. And then number three is the word Hades, means the grave or the cemetery. So on this particular scripture, Jesus used the word Hades, not hell or the lake of fire. He says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against my church. The church that I'm going to plant or I'm going to start, the gates of Hades, cemetery or grave, will not have power over it. Oh, hallelujah. That is a statement about resurrection. Now, when Jesus spoke, he chose one of those words. He said, it's not the lake of fire, it's not the other place, but it's the grave and the cemetery. Do you know that you live beyond the grave because of resurrection? Hallelujah. Do you know that the kingdom of God presents and extends beyond the grave? Do you know that your life lives beyond the grave? You cross over from this life all to the other side of this life because of resurrection. Hallelujah. Resurrection gives us the assurance that we can live in this physical world and we can also live on the other side. Our life lives beyond the grave. Why? Because of resurrection. Do you know that the kingdom of God transcends death and continues to rule beyond the grave because of the power of the resurrection? Hallelujah. Our life lives beyond the grave because of resurrection. His death paid for all the past sins of those who accepted Christ. Blood for the forgiveness. It leaves us redeemed, but without future. Why? Let me tell you why. Because salvation is incomplete without resurrection. The Apostle Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. He says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Our preaching and faith is empty without resurrection. Hallelujah. His resurrection is so vital to us as believers. It didn't just fulfill the sign. The resurrection of Jesus Christ opened the way to eternal life and glory for those who believe. When the Father raised Jesus from the dead, restoring his glorious spirit body and exalting him to his right hand, and Father made two possible crucial realities for us. Number one, Jesus became what? Our mediator and the high priest before the Father, giving us the opportunity to have relationship with him. Paul tells us, for through Christ, we both Jews and Gentiles have access by one spirit to the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. I'm just bringing some scriptures to you to back up everything that I've been saying. Now Christ is preached. He personally came to his earth and preached. Later he preached through his apostles and evangelists, pastors and teachers who preached to the people the truth of God. Through the truth of God, the great creator of God was revealed, and people were led to Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. And I keep saying that. And then nobody comes to me except by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you to Jesus. Jesus is your mediator between you and the Father and brings you to the Father. Hallelujah. He becomes your high priest. He's sitting on the right hand side of the Father, interceding for us to this very day. His ministry of interceding hasn't stopped. It's still going on. Hallelujah. And because he's sitting there, resurrected, physical body, hallelujah, the glorified body sitting right next to the Father, you and I have hope. Hallelujah. Jesus became the firstborn among many brethren in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And the firstborn from the dead, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And you can read that also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. By overcoming death through the resurrection from the dead, he became the forerunner or the trailblazer for everyone who faithfully follows him as a disciple. You and I have hope because of resurrection. God sanctifies us through Jesus Christ and graciously justifies us by means of Christ's blood, providing us with his Son's righteousness and granting us entrance into the relationship with him. The sanctification process writes the laws of God in our hearts and making his righteousness real and practically to our daily lives every day. Hallelujah. God wrote his word in our hearts through the sanctification process of Jesus. During this process, which requires our cooperation with him, we live and move and have our being. We literally become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 23, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead comes through also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." What a promise. What a promise of resurrection. Because he lives, we can all face tomorrow. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is no more in the grave. He's sitting at the right hand side of the Father, become our high priest. And our life and our journey for we in God, there's hope in our resurrection as well. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the first of the first fruits, willingly gave his life so that many others will receive forgiveness of sin. He was a holy, sinless sacrifice. And 3 days later, he was the first person to resurrect to eternal life. Hallelujah. The resurrection of the dead is mankind's God-given victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over the death, the last enemy that we face. Let me just close with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. "Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Hallelujah. Everybody dies this death, my friends, including you and I, believers. All of us die. Death, everyone will face. We have one way to get into this afterlife or this life, and there is no way about it except through death. Satan used to have power over that. He used to have power over death. We all used to have fear of death. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because of salvation. Because of what Christ did. His death and resurrection wiped out the curse of death hanging over us due to our sins. And he remains our faithful high priest to this day. There's no more fear of death. Why? If you die, you're in Christ. If you live, you're in Christ. Whichever way you take, you're still a victory. You still have victory over death. Hallelujah. Listen to the Apostle Paul's reassuring words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, and I'll close with this. "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Hallelujah. My friends, where are you at with your life today? Are you with Christ Jesus? Are you scared of death? And you should be scared of death if your life is not in Christ Jesus. Because the power of resurrection is amongst those who are in him. Everybody will be risen from the dead. But it's the judgment time that you and I will face. That's the part. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that even before you were born, I love this scripture because it speaks about our lives. It said, even before you were born, I knew you. God prepared your spirit God created you, created your spirit. The real you is your spirit. Your body is just a vessel. Just a vessel that carries the spirit. When it goes down into the earth, it becomes dead. It becomes what it was purposed to be. Created from dead. But you, my friend, the real you is the spirit in you. And that is the spirit that God wants. God requires that spirit. He requires of what belongs to him. He created it. You belong to God. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to anybody except to the one who created you. Hallelujah. Think about your life today. Make up your decision today. Resurrection Sunday is a great day to make a choice. I said on Friday, on Good Friday, that everything that God does is about choice. He chose to do what he did. He chose to allow his son to go on the cross. He chose to turn his back from his son when sin was covered in his body. He chose everything. It was a choice. And so I'm asking you today, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, this is the most amazing time to do it, is Resurrection Sunday. Give your heart to Jesus today. I'm going to say a prayer at the end of this message. And I want you to say this prayer and repeat this prayer after me. Jesus said, only believe. Believe, he said, if you believe in me, then believe. If you believe in the Father, then believe in me also. Hallelujah. He also says that if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. He's talking about safekeeping of your spirit, like I said on Friday. If you lose your life for his sake or for Jesus' sake, you will find it. Why? Because you've deposited your spirit or your life into his hands for safekeeping. When you give your heart to Jesus, your life is in his hands. Your spirit, your soul is in his hands. It's in a safe place. It's like you're depositing, like I said on Friday, depositing your spirit or your life or your or something to the bank for safekeeping. It's the same principle as what Jesus is asking of us. Give me your life. Because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one that will look after your life. Whether you live or die, your life is in my hands. Hallelujah. That's a great promise from our Lord Jesus Christ today. So I'm asking you today to make the decision today. And remember, he became sin that we may become righteous. He became a curse so that we may be blessed. He became poor so that we may be rich. So as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ today, see it as your death and see it as your resurrection today. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I just wanted to pray this prayer before we close. So if you're in the church today, in your lounge room today watching this program, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Close your eyes and believe in your heart when you're saying this prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and the way that I have turned my back on you. I come to you now and I repent of all my unrighteousness. I turned away from it all and I turn to you. Your word says that if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross, for dying on the cross for me, to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive you, your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me and fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me and forgiving me. I am washed, I am clean, I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've said this prayer this morning, feel free to send us a message through our Facebook page. to let us know that you've done that so that we can follow you up, ring you, encourage you, take you through, make sure that you walk the path that Jesus has already paid for. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you, and we want to say Happy Resurrection Sunday to you today. Amen.